There's an outline available if you'd like to follow along. Always during this season, people ask questions or they anticipate that we're going to do something that we're not going to do. The questions are always asked. I always have a coffee buddy that says, oh, this is your busiest time of the year. Isn't that a no? That you have a special service going on a particular Sunday, don't you? And I said, no, what we're going to do today is the same thing we did last Lord's Day. We'll do the same thing the following Lord's Day. Just gather for worship and go through our usual, you know, outline, so to speak. But there's always the questions. Even one other one came up. This lesson probably would be better suited for a Bible class so we can have discussion or dialogue back and forth, make sure there's clarification. But I'll do the best I can to answer questions for you. One that came up, and I had got some notes this afternoon, last evening a little bit. But the question came up, does Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, refer to Christmas trees? Jeremiah 10, 1 through 5. That was the question. Does that refer to Christmas trees? Well, here's the text. It's Jeremiah chapter 10. So it says, hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. All right. Now let that sink in for a moment. Do not learn the ways of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are futile. Customs of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold, fasten it with nails and hammers, so that it does not topple. They are upright like a palm tree. They cannot speak. They must be carried, because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them. They cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. All right, so Jeremiah is warning Israel of two important things in those verses. First of all, it's right in the text, they're not to copy the idolatry of the nations around them. Well, that's first. Don't copy the idolatry of the nations around you. And the custom was to worship in the clump of trees, Asherah, in which there was a goddess of fertility that was to be venerated. And she was often represented by a branch or a limb from a tree. They would bring that tree or that branch home, decorate it, and make it look as feminine and sensual as possible. And Israel was, in this verse, was not to learn that idolatry. The second warning of the important thing that Jeremiah mentions, they were not to be frightened by the idols. Idols, he mentioned in the verse, idols had no power, no influence. They couldn't do anyone harm. They couldn't do anyone good. They were empty, unnecessary. So Jeremiah says, it's foolish to worship them and foolish to fear them. So these verses, my conclusion is, in context, could not refer specifically to a Christmas tree because that would have no meaning to the people of Israel. 600 or 700 years before Jesus. That would have no meaning at all for them. It's not a Christmas tree. The whole idea of Christmas was centuries in the future. So people ask, well, could the verse be applied to our holiday trees or our Christmas trees today? Only if people actually worship the tree they set up. If, I have four ifs in my notes here. Only that that verse is only applied to our trees today. By the way, our trees today did not come into existence until about the 15th century. It was in the time of Martin Luther. Before that, there were no Christmas trees. Only so this tree, if you apply it to our Christmas tree, only if people actually worship the tree they set up. If you ascribe supernatural power to the tree, which was their idolatry, or if you worship the tree or fear the power of the tree, and if you begin to treat the tree as a god of some kind, then that verse way back in Jeremiah would apply to today's Christmas tree. Otherwise, that verse has no reference at all to Christmas trees. None at all. So our putting up a tree is tradition. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, the notes. Now, I titled this lesson, Should Christians Celebrate Christmas as a Holy Day? If you're going to quote me, be sure you quote the whole question. Don't stop by saying, should Christians celebrate Christmas as a holy day? Don't leave that out if you quote me. So that's important. And it seems like a very strange question to ask in our generation. You know, the express answer to many people is they'll say, well, of course you need to celebrate Christmas as a holy day. It's the most important holiday of the entire Christian calendar. And that and Christmas and Easter, you know, those two most important holidays in Christianity, really. But before we say case closed, let's look at it from a biblical perspective. In history, you know, the Roman Catholic Church added holy days, including Christmas and Easter. And they added it to the Christian calendar long after the completion of the New Testament. It was centuries later, 4th century. So they were these holy days were later brought over into the mainstream Protestantism. They've been adapted by nearly all of those in Christianity. And millions of people, as you know, still celebrate the birth of Christ at Christmas and the resurrection of Christ at Easter. Those two, as people sometimes want to say, two major holidays. In one of my calendars I got last year, for the month of December, they had a little additional thing, and they were asking different questions, Christmas facts and trivia. And one of the questions they asked was, why is Christmas Day on December 25th? Why is it on December 25th? Although and this is not Church of Christ. This is history. I even Googled Christmas origins this week. And this piece, everyone agrees pretty much the same. This did not become a holiday until the 4th century. So, but here's the way this person answered the question. How did they decide on December 25? Although the exact date of Christ's birth is unknown, everybody says that when you Google Christmas origin. Nobody knows the exact date of Christ's birth. Nobody. Christmas Day has been symbolically celebrated on the 25th of December since the 4th century. The word Christmas comes from Christ's Mass. We do know that the oldest existing record of a feast to celebrate the birth of Christ is in the Roman Almanac, called the Chronographer, of the year AD 354. The Almanac noted a festival commemorating Christ's birth was observed by the church in Rome in that year of AD 336. So the chronographers of the 4th century were the ones who reckoned December 25th around the winter solstice as the most likely day of Christ's birth. As Christianity began to spread in the 4th century, the Christmas feast was set on December 25th by Pope Julius I to align with the Roman pagan holiday, and it's in Latin, Deus Natalis Solis Invicti, meaning the birth of the invincible Son. Many historians believe the church stirred up interest in the festival at this time of year to counter the pagan festivals surrounding the solstice. But no historical document proves Roman involvement. The record shows that a festival was adopted throughout the Christian world by the year AD 458. So that's why it was decided December 25th to harmonize with the solstice. When
that way and then come back up. Now, let's see what else I said. Through the years, at least I'll say my years, gospel preachers and most members of the churches of Christ have taught often on Christ's birth and death. However, it was usually emphasized that celebrating any religious holiday other than the Lord's Day on the first day of the week was adding to the Word of God. That's what I preach. I teach that. To observe any other day as a holy day other than the first day of the week is adding to the Word of God. But most brethren you can enjoy a holiday such as Christmas as long as we don't make it a holy day. We celebrate other holidays, don't we? But we don't do it religiously. Celebrate the 4th of July in varying degrees. I put a flag out in front of my house. But it's not religiously. Don't do it religious as a religious observance. I observe New Year's Day. I enjoy that day. Memorial Day? Yeah, sure do. We honor the veterans. But not as a religious holy day. I celebrate Valentine's Day. Thanksgiving, Labor Day. So we certainly celebrate holidays, but we don't make them holy days. And so that means that we can celebrate the non-religious customs of the land, as decorations or giving gifts, but not the part of making this birthday of Jesus a single religious day. We don't know when Jesus' birthday was. So in society, it's customary to remember birthdays. The President's Days in February are honored on their birthdays, not their death days. So it's customary in society. So that may be part of it. But we remember Jesus' day every first day of the week, but not his birthday. So I put a definition of a holy day in your notes just to make clarification, because that's my question in the title. Should Christians celebrate Christmas as a holy day? So here's the definition of a holy day. Dedicated to religious use. Sacred. Deserving deepest respect, awe, reverence, adoration. That which is held in religious reverence. Sacred refers to that which is set apart as holy or is dedicated to some exalted purpose. So we don't do that with Jesus' birthday. That definition. We don't separate it as a holy day. So we ask again, does the Bible single out the so-called birthday of Jesus as a one-time annual holy day to celebrate Jesus' birth? And the answer is no. The Bible does not. Just one other verse I added this afternoon. I was looking over my notes. In Jesus' Great Commission, in Matthew 28, verse 20, after he says, "Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you." That last phrase. Jesus said, "I want you to teach the world all things that I have commanded you." Did Jesus ever command, or even the apostles, that we observe Jesus' birthday? No. No. It's not there. But in recent years, people have joined the religious celebration of Jesus' birth. They sing the songs, decorate the building, nativity scenes, full-scale Christmas program. They do similar things regarding the resurrection, the Easter, that they say. They even have a holy week for Easter. Remember, when you get the newspaper on the Saturday section, they have the advertisements in there that advertise, on this particular Sunday, they call it Palm Sunday, and we're going to lay palm leaves in the aisle. They have Maundy Thursday, in which they observe the communion, and many times it could be either open communion or closed communion. Open communion, by the way, in religious circles means that it's open to the community, but closed communion means that it's only for those who are in good standing in the attendance record. So it's closed. by invitation only. And then they'll observe Good Friday. Sometimes they'll even add a requirement, no meat. I remember that when I was going to school. So you had Fish Friday. So they make a holy day out of it. Then there's the Easter Sunday. And the assembly, typically they want to do it at sunrise for some reason. Make it more holy, I guess. It's holy day. And then they ask about their practice. Sometimes they'll pull out Romans chapter 14, verse 5. I put that one in your notes. It says, one man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. But let each be fully persuaded in his own mind. Well, in Romans chapter 14, Paul is talking about referencing things that are legitimate. Things are okay. Meat versus the non-meaters. Non-meat eaters. Okay? So he mentions some of you may observe a day more than, but he's not talking about violations of a day. He's saying you can do this, you can do that. Just as some might want to eat meat, some might not want to eat meat. But don't let your conscience approve something that God does not approve. You can't change the Lord's day to Saturday night and not meet on Sunday or the first day of the week. Some congregations do that. Not congregations, religious groups. They say, oh, we have a Saturday night service, so you can sleep in on Sunday. Can't do that. But they say, oh, but I'm esteeming one day above another. No, that's not the context of Romans chapter 14. Paul speaks of things that are right in themselves, eating meat or not eating meat. But don't authorize a day that God is not. Don't take Romans chapter 14, verse 5 as the only verse in the Bible. Say, oh, this is my religion. There's 23 other letters to the churches. Some people do that with John 3:16. You know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So they say, all I need to do, I believe. Well, I sometimes want to speak to them and say, well, do you think you can get to heaven without loving God? Oh, no, you have to love God. It's not in the verse. You think you need to live right? Or you don't repent? Oh, yeah, I need to do that. Well, it's not in the verse. But they say, oh, but the verse is, I just believe. But they want to worship God according to their own conscience, their own belief, and do it their own way, rather than the way that God has outlined. So let's take a look at just quickly, oh, man, it's going by, some biblical principles. First one, Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. I'll read the whole verse. But now, Paul said, after that ye have known God, all right, this is after you know God, or rather are known of God, how turn you back again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So Paul says, Christianity brought you out of the bondage of observing holy days. When you try to observe both old and new, it's Paul saying, that's too much labor. I don't want to bestow labor upon you in vain. Christianity is not to be added to your holy days. No. Christianity is the only labor. And I put in your notes today, it's odd that people who stress the observance of days, not authorized religiously, do not regard what God has ordained the first day of the week. But they'll say, I'll take Christmas and Easter as holy days that God has not ordained. He's ordained the first day of the week. The next verse in Colossians 2, verse 16. I'll read the whole verse again. Put 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 2. He says, let no man... I now wonder, who's that man? Let no man, I'll tell you, it's the Old Testament keepers. Don't let the Old Testament keepers, don't let not that man therefore judge you or discredit you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Since we are New Testament keepers, not Old Testament keepers, the holy day is of old. The Old Testament is no longer valid. It's not binding on Christians. Therefore, we're not to be judged for not keeping them. That's the verse. Don't let the man judge you in meat and drink. I don't keep meat and drink. It's not, that's under the old law, not the new. They can judge me all they want to, just like they do with Christmas days and holy. You don't have a Christmas service? No, I don't. But that doesn't bother me for you to make that judgment on me. How can you not keep Christmas and Easter? Let no man judge you in meat or drink, a holy day, a new moon, or a Sabbath day. They are shadows of things to come. The body is of Christ, is the last phrase. So don't get upset about those who want to mandate these holy days. Don't let them upset you because you don't keep them. And so I don't observe Christmas and Easter as a holy day set apart. And besides, the people that make those judgments on us, they're not the ultimate judge. The eternal judge is not the Old Testament. In verse 17, Paul says, mentions the observance of these holy days. They're not to be a test of fellowship. We're of Christ. That's his last phrase of the verse. So religiously, keeping the Old Testament days are of no value religiously. In verse 18, he says, don't let a man rob you of your prize by saying you must observe these holy days, Sabbath days, new moons, and the other things. In the verse. Don't let a man judge you that. Don't get upset over that. They're not the judge. The other verse, Matthew 15, verse 3. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? That's what Jesus said. Your tradition is transgressing, violating the commandment of God. Your tradition is. When did Christmas come? Fourth century. Not in the Bible. It's tradition. Jesus, in verse 6, Jesus continued, thus you've made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, he called them. Well did Isaiah say of you, this people, they draw nigh to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine a commandment of man. Christmas, the holy days of Christmas and Easter are traditions of man. A doctrine of man. In Mark 7, verse 9, Jesus said, full well ye reject the commandment of God, but that ye may keep your own tradition. So the Christmas and the holidays and the Easter, the holy days, are man's invention, man's tradition. In Colossians, next Bible principle, in Colossians 3, verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, whatever, in word and deed, speech and actions, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. It says, do it in the name. When the law enforcement comes to your door and they say, open up in the name of the law. What do they mean by that, in the name of the law? By the authority of government. In the name of the law, we have law behind us. So if we do something in the name of the Lord Jesus, we have authority from Jesus to do it. And there's no authority for Christians to keep a holy day. There's no New Testament command. There's no example to observe Jesus' birth. Nothing. Paul never wrote to the churches, oh, and by the way, don't forget to remember the Lord's birthday. No. So we need to do it in the biblical principle. Whatever you do religiously, do it in the name of the Lord. Have Bible authority for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul said that, referring to himself and Apollos. He says that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. And we hold teachers in high regard. However, these teachers among the Corinthians, they were promoting a party spirit. They were promoting factions. And Paul says, in us, that is Paul and Apollos, we didn't advocate that. You know, what we see you Corinthian brethren doing, that's not what we approve. So he says, hold high that which is written. Hold the instruction higher than the instructor. So again, we ask, is there any precept, any example in the written word to celebrate Jesus' birth with a special religious day? No. Does the New Testament ever use the word Christmas? No. To view Christmas or Easter as a holy day is to attach meaning to them that God does not. 2 John verse 4 says, I rejoice greatly that I find my children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Great joy, John says, to hear that you walk in truth. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, thy word is truth. In 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Said it twice. So now we reach the end. Probably should have had the conclusion first. Otherwise, and I'm not trying to be Scrooge or Bah Humbug. Just want to know what does the Bible say concerning this tradition, observance. So I put in your notes, is it wrong to preach on the birth of Christ? No. That's part of the gospel. I did part of that this morning when I talked about the wise men. Is it wrong to sing songs related to Jesus' birth? No. We sing about every part of Jesus' life. Ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection, is coming again. Why not sing about his birth? Another question, when should we celebrate or rejoice in Jesus' birth? The answer is all year. Just as we do each Lord's Day in reflecting on his life and his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming. Yeah. Do it all year long. Why are you just observing it once a year? It's his birthday. That's why we only observe birthdays once a year. We have a problem with that when we're supposed to observe worship on the first day of the week, not forsake the assembly. They see the awkwardness we have is that the world has given Jesus a birth date that the Bible does not. The world did that. And they singled out a certain day to celebrate that birthday, and it's become a holy day. I put in your notes, the fact that God did not give us the date means that we do not need to know it. God didn't reveal it. You know, I've known preachers to preach on Jesus' birth and sing songs about his birth in July. Just to illustrate the point. I'm not forsaking the birth of Jesus. No, joy to the world. So we observe the resurrection every first day of the week, not on a designated holy day once a year. It's certainly okay to sing about his birth. And however you want to observe that day. You know, if I went around the room and say, how are you observing Christmas this year? I celebrate the season. The joy, the music, love that. Have a stamp of time. So that's the lesson. I hope a few questions you would have when people ask you why don't you have a special service? We do every first day of the week. We do have a special service. It's a special assembly. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. It's an invitation that Jesus gave. It says, come unto me. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You will. If you come to Him, His way. So that's why we preach that good news, Great Commission message. When Jesus said, go into all the world, teach, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, there's more, teaching again, to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. When Mark writes it, he's in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. So we give that invitation every time we assemble. It would be awkward for me just to preach a lesson and not ask you to respond in some way. Same if I was a salesman and made my pitch and not ask you for the order. I wouldn't be a very good salesman. Same way preaching. Do you want to respond God's way? So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to obey the gospel this evening, we can certainly accomplish that. So just simply come to the front and let that request be made known while we're singing this song.